You think Umar did not have contentment? They say that the greatest riches of Persia, things, objects, articles which were not available in Arabia, were sent to him after the Muslims conquered so much of Persia. The best things which the rulers used to use, they were specially preserved and sent to Umar, and Umar would have it distributed, Umar would have it put into the Baytul Mal, he would never keep anything for himself. He knew that this was not what will give him the contentment. The contentment lies in the heart. And the contentment is in doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told them to do. One of the greatest advices that was given to the Muslim army was that, look, be careful, be cautious. Do not ever disobey Allah. Just being involved in the war and engrossed in its affairs, it should not make you perform your prayer any faster than normal. It should not let you hasten in your prayer and rush your prayer, that you do not make your sujood and your ruku, your bowing and prostration, in the complete way that you used to do so. Because that is where the success lies. Because it is Allah who helps. And it is nothing else that can really bring the help if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't put that ability and the strength in that thing to work. He said that if you do not obey Allah and you begin to disobey Allah, then they will definitely overcome you and dominate you, because they are much better off and they are much more well prepared in terms of fighting, in terms of weapons, and in terms of self-protection. They are more protected than you are. And if you do not seek Allah's help and assistance, if you do not have Allah on your side by disobeying Him, then they will definitely dominate you. Your only strength lies in Allah. Your only strength lies in Allah. This is why I keep saying that we philosophize today. That Muslims need money. And Muslims need engineers and technology. We have all of this. We have all of this. Muslims are the top wealthiest people in the world. Some of the best scientists and engineers in this country are Muslims. We have all of this. But if the dhikr of Allah is not there, if the remembrance is not there, if the heart is not illuminated by the dhikr of Allah, then these same people will be looking for contentment elsewhere. These same Muslims who have all of this, and they are looking for contentment elsewhere. We see this and we complain about them sitting down. We sit and complain about the worldly leaders. What are they doing? What are these leaders doing with all the money that they have? They could feed all the poor people of Africa. They could feed all the poor people of Afghanistan. Why aren't they doing this? It's the heart. It is the heart. The dhikr of Allah. Contentment. Wanting to please Allah. This is missing. Everything else is in its place. So this is what is the essential thing. Yes, we acquire everything else, but it should always be infused with the dhikr of Allah. And not only our worldly aspects should be infused with the dhikr of Allah, but even our worships. If our worships are not permeated, are not mixed and overwhelmed by the dhikr of Allah, then that worship is sometimes not beneficial. أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish prayer for my remembrance, not just mechanically, not just to fulfill an obligation, but for my remembrance. So if the dhikr is not in the prayer, that prayer is valid. The fard is absolved. The obligation is absolved. But the benefit that it should bring into us will not come. The dhikr is the most essential thing. The dhikr is the most important aspect. Regardless if it's a worldly thing we are embarking upon, it's a worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are doing, then all of this, the core, fundamental, and a goal and ambition should be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then whatever we are doing will have the benefit. Then when the person speaks, it will be listened to. The heart will speak to the other's heart. That when we give da'wah to non-Muslims, when we give da'wah to other people, then this will benefit, because the heart will speak to the heart. The words will have the infusion of dhikr, which is that Allah's attention on the person. This will be present. When we do something, when we perform an act, when we write something, then all of this will benefit. When we perform an engineering feat, when something is developed and something is designed, and if it is done with the dhikr of Allah, it will benefit. The money that we have will be used in the good ways. The money, the wealth that people have, if it has the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in there, will be used in the best of places, and it will give answers, it will bring solutions. It will resolve situations. But until that does not happen, then this is just all worldly aspects. This is just worldly aspects. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. That everything on this earth is to perish. Everything. So whatever we are using, if it does not have the dhikr of Allah, is to perish. It is something which is not everlasting. However, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ, only the countenance of your Lord will remain and will endure the test of time. ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, the one of great honor and of great generosity. So we have to bring that aspect into our deeds. Then our deeds will be more long lasting. These deeds will then benefit us not only in this world but in the hereafter also. The benefits of dhikr, if only we were to know. If only we were to pick up the Quran. This Quran which is lying on our shelves at home. The Quran which is on the shelves in the masjid. If only we were to pick it up and look. And look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very simply but very clearly says, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Remember Allah so that you may be successful. This is what Allah is saying. Remember Allah and you will be successful. But again, we look for success in other areas. It is not haram to look for success in other areas, as long as we do not neglect the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah has to come along with everything. This is the baggage and the luggage we should carry with us everywhere. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you, Allah says. Now just imagine if Allah remembers someone. Can that person ever go wrong? Can that person ever falter? Can that person ever take a wrong step? Allah is saying, remember me and I will remember you. This is a guarantee. When Allah says something, He means it. It is something which we should not have any doubt in whatsoever. And we should believe like the sun in the morning that comes up. That just as we see it and we believe in its reality, this is exactly how the words of Allah should be in our hearts and in our minds. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. That be grateful to me and do not be ungrateful. Do not disobey, do not be disbelievers. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the dhikr to be made. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. In Surah Al-Ahzab, O people who believe, remember Allah in abundance. Remember Allah in great abundance. And glorify Him morning and evening. In another place in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا.